After 90 minutes of sheer hell, I listen to the football ramble.
It's Johnny Barnes. John Barnes on the show. Have you heard of that? Hey? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. As you can hear, we're not in James' kitchen this week, you'll be pleased to know. But what also you'll be pleased to know is that Luke's here.
Hello, all right.
James or Jim.
Hello.
And we've got XFM's very own Pete back.
Hello.
As if there was any doubt.
He's not been doing it long enough to be like really jaded by it, so he's still really enthusiastic.
I'm excited.
Gentlemen. What is your favourite football chant of all time?
Have we not done this?
We've done this.
No, we haven't. No, we haven't.
All right.
I'm the question master. All we haven't done it.
Right, do you want to go first?
I'll go first. I will do the old textbook, there's only two Andy Gorhams.
I was going to go with that.
Good.
Yeah.
But actually, one
he was
I
schizophrenic,
really,
listeners, in case you wondered what that's
all about. One I really, really like, just because, I don't know, it's so simple, it just makes me laugh, is Peter Reed's got a fucking monkey's head.
Yeah.
Heed?
So
heed, monkey's heed, isn't it?
Rhymes with Reed.
Of course, yeah.
And what about...
As our Geordie brother can confess.
Yeah, well, Pete, you well adept with Peter Reed's monkey heed?
I've met the man before.
Have
he's,
you?
He's definitely got a monkey's head.
Because you're not actually from Newcastle, you're from
Hartlepool. No, from Hartlepool. Not Sunderland.
Did you hang him then?
It's good. It's good. Good British geographical joke.
Yeah.
Always on.
Great.
Always
not
on.
People, not
right
many people know
that.
Yeah, right if you got it. Yeah.
I quite like the old Arsenal one. We've got Dennis Bergkamp. We've got Dennis Bergkamp.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Didn't I can remember.
Well, the other Arsenal one, which was Perry Groves. Perry Groves. Number two, Perry Groves.
Walking in a Perry Wonderland, whatever it is.
Weren't the Newcastle fans chanting, "You stole our holiday at West Ham the other week"?
That's classic. There's been some good ones this season and last season. Like the old Middlesbrough, "Oh, we're halfway there. Oh, Ali Adi, yeah."
Good.
Yeah. And Gabby, 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 on Lahore.
Let's go, yeah.
Score.
Yeah, well, you've got to mention... paying tribute to Gary Neville's father, Neville Neville, with a
Neville
tune.
Neville, the name of your dad.
Yeah, the tune of Rebel Rebel.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, I can remember when West Ham used to sing, "We've got Di Canio, we've got Di Canio."
Yeah.
I've seen, or heard, sorry, Liverpool fans in retaliation saying, "We've got your car stereo."
Actually, they've got an amazing one, which was... don't blame it on Biscan, don't blame it on Haman, don't blame it on
Finan,
blame it on Traore. Amazing.
That's decent.
He just can't control his feet. That was after that own goal, that absolute comedy own goal he scored.
That was Zidane-esque, and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a shame it was an accident.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. He did like a Cruyff turn backwards, about 2 yards in front of his own open goal, and it went in.
Are you a fan of the bouncy? Are you familiar with the bouncy?
Is that the West Bromwich Albion one?
No, Rangers fans do it.
Oh, I do, yeah. Ooh. No, West Bromwich Albion do
bouncy, 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 da 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 da.
Yeah,
I've on the terraces.
It's very sophisticated north of the border, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's your thinking man's chart. Because West Bromwich Albion...
That whenever they spy a bosom.
Are you suggesting that the bounce is childish?
Well,
not for
I wouldn't be so bold. West Bromwich Albion did a boing, boing, boing one, don't they?
Oh, similar.
Them? Yeah, that's them, isn't it? Yeah.
In Argentina, they sing El que no salta es un inglés.
Good, does that mean?
Good pronunciation, I think you find there, Pete. He who doesn't jump is an Englishman.
That's good.
Does that generally kick off a riot?
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. What do they sing about the English?
They hate us.
Yeah, fair enough.
We stole their island.
Moving on swiftly.
Yeah.
Just in case there are any Argentinians listening.
Any soldiers.
1-0. Gentlemen, Joe Kinnear, discuss.
Pete? Well, Pete's got to be first up.
Pete, you didn't get the job, Joe Kinnear did.
No, yeah. Well, you know.
How did your interview go?
Who the hell? I took my top off at one point, didn't I?
You thought that might be the clincher.
I was looking outside the box, a dirty protest, my shirt
after,
off.
After
was...
you left, like, they were like, "Well, what do you think?" Oh, he left his top on.
I didn't like it.
So Swedish. Now.
Yeah, he left his top on.
Swedish nothing. How do you say underdog?
He's dubstep. Was Steve McLaren interviewing you?
Well, joking here, I mean, only Newcastle would give a job to a manager for a month who's got a month touchline ban.
It's brilliant. He said his last job was 18 months ago when it was 4 years ago. So with that kind of match, he probably thinks they're winning.
Yeah, he thinks they're going to win the league.
Mm. It's mental, though. It shows Mike Ashley has sort of no idea of the concept of a caretaker manager. He's effectively got a temp in.
Yeah.
Do you think Mike Ashley's that bothered about Newcastle United football club, though?
It does actually seem like sabotage now, doesn't it? It's clear at that
point. But he sort of goes like, the whole problem with it was this whole Cockney Mafia thing, Dennis Wise bringing in players and stuff. And Dennis Wise is quite close to Joe Kinnear, I've heard. So it's kind of like, it's not the greatest. We'll get over this. We'll appoint Joe Kinnear.
But Joe Kinnear's Irish, though, isn't he?
We did do a thing.
He's born in Watford, though, wasn't he?
About black and white animals, related to Newcastle somehow. So maybe Joe Kinnear's coming because he does look a bit like a badger.
True. But that's the thing with Dennis Wise. That's what makes Dennis Wise a complete joke, because he was in charge, executive director in charge of whatever, in charge of everything, if what they tell us is true. And all he's done to find a manager is just look through like his mobile phone book. Yeah.
I think he just pressed down on his address book and whatever stopped.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, he's clearly responded to one of those spam emails, isn't he? Because the Nigerians are coming in.
Apparently so. That's basically what's happened. There's apparently a load of Nigerian investors lining up to take over the club.
Didn't you get that email as well?
Mike Ashley's been confused. He's basically just, hello there, sir. It's like, phone jacker, isn't it? I want to deposit the monies in your account.
Nigerian?
Yeah, I can't do accents, Norwegian. Right? Let's
you can do a pretty good Swedish one, just for everything.
Yeah.
Pete, you were saying that it's just dodgy.
It just sounds a little bit too... I wouldn't say too good to be said. So it just sounds like there's a lot of people talking a lot of guff over the whole thing. So I'm going, this is going to be great for Nigeria and stuff. You've not even made a bid yet. They've only tabled a bid today. And it's just kind of like, I don't know. I just find it very difficult to see how this is going to solve any of our problems.
I think what's happened is Mike Ashley's like been baracked over and over again. And then and he's gone, it doesn't matter actually, because someone's lined up a bid for the club anyway. Oh, really? Who's that? This guy called John. Where's he from? Nigeria. And he's like, shit, what if that's a Nigeria?
I have got a girlfriend. She's in another country.
I met her on holiday.
I was actually once when I was at school, there was this kid.
Here we go. Lukey Moore's School Days featuring the Football Ramble.
Yeah, there you go. Once again. Right, you can cut that out if it's not funny.
Go on. Yeah. You were at school once upon a time.
I was walking along with this guy I used to know at school, and he was like, oh, watch this. And there's this girl in our class. It was like the fittest girl in the class, basically. And then he was like, Tracy! And she just like ignored him. He was like, Tracy! And she like carried on ignoring him. And he went, Tracy! And she turned around and went, what? And he went, all right. And she went, fuck off, and walked off. And he went to me, that's my girlfriend, that is. Outrageous stuff, outrageous.
Yeah.
Yeah, cut that out.
Do you think Michael Owen's going to leave by January?
He must want to by now. It must be like some waking nightmare for Michael Owen.
He's out of contract this
summer.
Seen this
coming when he went to Real Madrid.
When he signed for Newcastle, he must have thought at some stage, like, how bad can it be? It can't be that bad. You know? I'm only like 100 miles or whatever it is away from like my family. If it gets that bad, I can just go home. Mm. But he never dreamed it would be this bad. And he didn't never dream that he'd be so injured he wouldn't be able to travel anywhere. Yeah. So he's actually stuck. It's like Misery. That film Misery. With the woman who looks after the bloke and keeps him injured. But the woman is actually like Dennis Wise.
It's just like, the person I feel sorry most for, apart from the supporters, Shea Given.
Yeah.
Bless him.
Yeah. Even Shea Given's not keeping his counts anymore. when he's away with Ireland and stuff. Someone at the end of airport will ask him, like, what's going on at Newcastle? And usually you just used to go, we try and do our best, Now it's like, I don't fucking know. Could be anything.
He's trying to let goals in, but they keep bouncing off his head. Has any goalkeeper ever saved more shots with his head than Shea Given?
Not a big head either, is it?
That's right, yeah.
It's like a pea head. It's a ball bearing head.
Stick him up front, I reckon.
But Michael Owen's life now is like a Newcastle version of Misery. It really is. It's like Dennis Wise comes in every so often to the physio room and like, how you feeling now, Michael? Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. No, you're not. Fucking have some of that.
Every time he tries to get a cab away, Dennis Wise throws a brick at him.
Yeah, they kick the taxi driver in. Oh, never mind.
Michael Owen's, to be fair, probably thinking, oh, thank God I didn't join Spurs.
They're not bottom of the table, are they, Newcastle? So
yeah, thank flipping God for that. Flipping, eh?
Spurs. Yeah. Fucking hell. Did you see him on Sunday?
I couldn't bear. to watch it.
I don't know what's going on at that club. You can't. It's difficult to say.
They'll sort it out.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that, because people are tipping them for relegation. It's ridiculous. Well, it won't be that bad.
Do you think Newcastle will get relegated?
But who do you think is going to get relegated?
The three teams that have come up have made a mockery of us.
Done all right, yeah.
It's not hard,
to be fair.
Hull City.
True, yeah. I think listeners actually sit there going, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about.
I think Hull have done pretty well. I mean, West Brom, they're doing all right. Do you know what I mean? I think there's 7 points of that or something.
They're struggling at the moment. How's Stoke getting on?
Stoke
5 points or something?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, it's not... But, I mean, they've got the first win. You know, they've equaled Derby's record already. Yeah,
Tottenham have started worse this season than Derby did last season.
Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it?
So the worst start in...
57 years.
10 years. Yeah.
There's a lot of egg on a lot of people's faces. Keeping with the egg on their face theme, another man who's got that is Liam Lawrence. He's going to miss Sunday's trip to Portsmouth. He tripped over his dog and injured his ankle.
He's at Stoke now, isn't he?
He was at Stoke.
Doesn't bode well for Stoke, does it? If the players are doing that.
One of the most bizarre injuries was Canizares, the Spanish keeper.
Bottle of aftershave.
That's right. Dropped a bottle of aftershave on his foot and he couldn't play in the World Cup.
Was he playing in bulk? Huh? It was like a really cheap Poundland, big litre of aftershave he bought.
Brute.
Yeah.
And Seaman, he put his back out leaning for the ketchup, didn't he, or something?
Did he?
Mark Fish just fall on a glass table.
Through a glass table, I think.
He was injured for about a year, wasn't he?
Ian Walker once ironed his goalkeeping shirt when he was wearing it.
You say this all the time. I don't think that's true.
When he was wearing it.
He says this all the time. I don't think that's true.
I say that. I've never said that before.
You said to me at least three times.
That's not on this, I think.
Well, you might have done. You might not have done.
That still counts.
Yeah, you still
can say it. They don't really crinkle, as you say.
What, go on, over there.
They don't really get creases, do they?
No, that's exactly my point. Yeah. Exactly my point.
Why is he going to iron it anyway?
This is a bastardisation of two different stories, right? Ian Walker, who's a bit of an idiot, that's one part of the story.
Yeah.
And two, it happened famously to a real famous baseball player in America.
Right.
And I think you've bastardised the two stories.
I haven't done that. Someone else might have done and repackaged it and give it to me. Yeah, and I've lapped it up.
You've wrapped it up, and you say it all the time. I'd be surprised if...
I do not say it all the time.
Every week.
Every other week.
Not a week goes past without you saying it. What's wrong with Ian Walker? Leave him alone.
Well, I'm just saying.
Is he still knocking about?
Probably.
Is he at Leicester? God, no.
He was at Leicester. I don't think he is now. Did he do an emergency loan to Man City for a bit?
Didn't he...
Hang on.
Iron his goalkeeping shirt while he was wearing it?
No, it was a baseball player.
I've bastardised that.
I think you have.
I've got that from two different stories.
Another story that's been bastardised, perhaps, is the Sheffield United players individually suing West Ham.
That's mental.
Well, Chris Morgan, the club captain, has come out and said, that's absolute nonsense, we're not going to do that.
It's a can of worms. It's an absolute can
of worms. Snakes.
It is, you can't. I mean, there should be some sort of regulation as to what happening. I mean, if there was an injustice, a perceived injustice, and it should only be able to be sort of contested at club level.
Otherwise,
it would never stop.
There's no precedent though. Like, it's been automatically assumed that West Ham should have been docked points over what happened. But why? Like, there's no precedent before. Why should other clubs have been docked points for that kind of thing before? Are you sure?
For a regular transfer, Tottenham got deducted some, and they got overturned in the 90s. It's a precedent, though. But I mean, that was the deal. It was held up in Sheffield United's favour. So West Ham are now culpable. I think West Ham are going to try and drag it out for another year or so to try and appeal it.
They tried to take it to the court for arbitration, or whatever it's called. But that's actually been rejected because you need two parties to take it.
Apparently. Right. Well, who would the other one be? Sheffield United
or the FA? I think.
Okay. Right. All right. Well, yeah. I think we can all agree that at player level, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Morgan, to his credit, is saying the same thing.
So. Yeah, well, he comes across as a decent, honest chap.
But what's next? The Bolton players like suing Rob Stiles, that decision on Saturday.
That's a good idea, actually.
I'd be all for that.
Yeah,
I think Newcastle are going to get relegated.
Spurs. They just can't.
Imagine Newcastle and Spurs got relegated.
I think Spurs will be okay, but I think Newcastle will go down.
This always happens, and you know what I mean? I think they'll make 12th. Honestly, that's the dream.
We've said it before, though. A bad start can really throw you in the shit. When West Ham went down, no one tipped them to go down, and it's just teams get sucked in.
That, and they thought they were too good.
Blackburn, it doesn't seem to have been. Could happen.
We didn't give Paul Ince enough credit in the summer, but I don't think... You can't say Newcastle are going to finish up. Who are they going to finish above?
You know what I mean? But it's like, I just can't imagine Michael Owen... Shea Given, that's about it. going down. You're bringing a team that goes down. I just can't imagine it.
Careful.
What the fuck was that?
My shank.
Don't say another word about my club.
Yeah. But Steve, stop harming behind this desk, you can't see it.
Even Stephen Taylor's turned completely shit.
I'd argue that he was never that bloody good. He played around a couple of older players that he just doesn't have the pace.
He did the greatest dive ever, though, didn't he?
Yeah, the getting shot one. It's just like I find it very hard to. He does think he's God's gift to defending, but he's just not. No. He just really isn't.
The $64,000 question: would you have Tartus Bramble back?
I tell you what. He played. He's a better defender than Stephen Taylor on his day. That's what I'll say.
James, comment on that.
He fucks up, but he makes so many fuck ups. But he fucks up.
That's ironic.
But when he actually plays a game, it's like, oh, he's a good he's a good defender. But he's had so many chances, and he's such a ridiculous human being that he can't seem to hold it together for more than one game. It's incredible.
He can't shake off an error. Now, when he makes an error, it's like, oh, it's Bramble again. Oh. Everyone, it sticks in everyone's head, doesn't it? It sticks in everyone's mind.
It's Jason Lee in defence. He's just kind of like a joke.
He's absolutely joking.
He's the only centre-half in the Premier League who's got like a YouTube compilation clip. He is. I'll tell you something. The other day, when on Sky... It's the old boys club on Sky Sports Soccer Saturday again, right? And it was
literally an old boys club.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was West Ham appointed Gianfranco Zola as West Ham manager.
Did they?
That's a really good it's a brave and exciting managerial appointment, I think, and it's something that we should be applauding.
Yeah, and he had managed the Italy under 21, so a lot of people think he's just coming in with no experience.
But he's got a good experience with the English game as well, remember?
Yeah. Speaks English.
Yeah, and so, but basically they were
great
talking...
number two in Steve Clarke as well, sorry.
Yeah,
that's right. And they were saying that but all the boys on Soccer Saturday, so your Phil Thompsons, your Charlie Nicholas, obviously who are mates with all these people, were like, oh, why didn't they go down the Terry Venables or Sam Allardyce or Peter Reid?
Exactly,
that's why.
That's gonna help things, isn't it?
Exactly, it's a massive boys club, isn't it? And that sort of ties into what Paul Ince was saying, it's impossible to get a job unless you're in that little clique, and you're mates with everyone.
Or you're Howard Wilkinson.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you dodged a bullet with Terry Venables. I'll tell you, that man's an absolute disgrace.
But you know, but at least he wasn't joking there. I think that's the main problem.
That's a good point.
And like, Shearer's gone on
about it. You dodged a bullet into a nuclear missile. Come on, please don't miss that one.
But it's like Alan Shearer's sort of gone, I'm not taking this. He's not going to take it. The club's going to be like this. It's going to be a mess for the next 10 years. So
can you
ever imagine him actually getting involved and giving a toss? You know what I mean? It's just like,
to be fair though, mate, can you imagine the size of Alan Shearer's fence? That is a lot of creativity.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of work on.
I'm staying true to myself, pet.
Would you like to see Alan Shearer in charge?
In the same way that I like to see Kevin Keegan in charge, it's a talisman. It's not a particularly decent manager. You know what I mean? But there aren't that many seriously decent managers.
I'll tell you what, Shearer pisses me off because he sits there in his Match of the Day studio, right, and he talks about Newcastle all day, and he really lights up when Newcastle come on and they play. And they always ask him about, are you going to be a Newcastle manager? And it's evident to everyone that club can't move on until Alan Shearer takes the job.
Yeah, and then messes it up and then buggers off. Exactly, that's the main.
Or just distances himself. Or takes another job, just something.
Yeah.
But if he thinks about it for a second, Alan Shearer, and entertains it, he can't fucking lose. They're in absolute crisis at the moment. Mm. They're in free fall. They're completely
fucked. Well, that's what he said the most of the day. Even Caneas, you know what I mean? He's so far out of the game. Yeah. He's got 6 weeks. He could pick up 7 points, you know what I mean?
The worst thing will happen is they'll give him the job permanently.
That's why McGlenn Rhoda, he got a few good, decent results as a caretaker.
He hasn't managed in 4 years. It's going to take him 6 games to get back into it. It's mental.
It's ridiculous.
Shearer needs to fucking think about it. What does he want to do? He wants.
I'm sure he has thought about it.
Well, hang on a minute. Was he planning on taking the job when Keegan did it for 3 years and won the fucking Champions League? And then, oh, look at me, I'm Alan Shearer. Now I've got a lot to live up to. They're at rock bottom. Yeah, no one in this room could do any worse now at the moment.
But you're going down the train of thought that you're thinking that one day he will.
I think he has to. I think it's set up and he has to. That club can't move on till he does it, and he knows it. He knows it. He's well connected at the club. He knows he's got to.
Do you think he's bottom there at the minute?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he did the same when he was playing. He played for too long. He played on for like a season longer than he should have, and didn't allow us to move on. And it's just coming back again.
He does refer to Newcastle as my club, but not in the way that people do when they're talking about supporting their club, as if he's actually got this. As if it's his divine
right. He's got a bar, hasn't he? Shearer's bar. So it's probably... Yeah, Shearer's bar.
A similar thing happened with Ajax. You know, they were all crying out for Johan Cruyff to take the job. and he wouldn't do it because he was scared of
messing
up
his reputation. Basically.
Exactly, but as you say, you quite rightly point out that what can he do to make things worse?
The reason he's bottling it is because I think not only are they at rock bottom, so in a way you can't really lose. If he does really shit, it's a bit like, well, okay, they were rubbish at the moment. They're in an absolute crisis. You know, they're a crisis club. You know, the biggest crisis club in European football. So he can't really do an awful lot worse. But the point is, even if you want to take that out of the equation. Fucking stand up and be counted on this year, right? It's easy to sit on the sofa on the Match of the Day programme for $1 million a year by the BBC. The club you reportedly love and fucking will do anything for need you. They need someone like you. Yeah. No one wants the job. No one will take it. I don't know what they're going to do when Joe Kinnear's thing runs out. What are they going to do? Extend it to the end of the season? Well, no manager will take that job.
I mean, they're talking about Keegan coming back when these Nigerians get in and Shearer's number two. And that's what he's sort of, in his capacity of sort of swatting these rumours away, he's sort of saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't know where these rumours are coming from. Because he doesn't want to be a number two. Then fucking come in. Take the first one. He doesn't want to be a number two under a manager that may fail.
I mean, he could have been number two under Keegan, let's be honest. And if he was worried about failure and or maybe not experience, he could have got it there and he didn't do it.
I don't think at Newcastle, Alan Shearer would play second fiddle to anyone.
Yeah. He didn't. He didn't when he was playing. You know what I mean? He had like a clause in his contract that he had to be the highest paid player at the club and stuff.
Do you fancy a player manager role for Jira?
Fucking
or Gascoigne maybe?
39.
Tell me another manager outside of Shearer or Keegan who would take that job. There's no one. It'd be illegal.
David O'Leary wanted it.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Tell you
a realistic character. Somebody's not completely desperate.
And Royston Vasey need him.
I tell you who might have done. he's got a job at the minute and, with Mexico. I reckon Sven.
No.
I reckon Sven would have had that.
He's that stupid.
Yeah, he is.
It's weird. It's a weird one that Sven's there, but I don't think Sven would take a Newcastle job. Why would he?
No.
Maybe, why would anyone take it? Your hands are completely tight. It's almost like a Tottenham job.
No, I'm saying if Sven was out of contract, if he wasn't doing anything.
Steve might take it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, I'll peek at Steve McCann.
Wicked.
I think he'd be looking for a way back into English football and, you know, it's going to take something like this, isn't it?
Do you reckon with his Dutch connections he could get Brian Penis back?
that's the thing. I don't think any other club would touch McLaren. Okay, I probably should revise my sort of challenge to you as... Watch which other credible manager would take it. I mean, you're always going to get O'Leary, Reid, these sort of managers who will effectively do anything. Do you know what I mean? And they'll be shit. And what will happen is they'll go absolutely nowhere for 18 months and they'll be sacked. I mean, I'm tempted to include, you know, Graham Souness did that at Newcastle, that sort of thing, you know. But Shearer needs to just step up. Just step up.
Well, let's talk of Kenny Dalglish going there.
He ruled himself out pretty much straight away. Well, you can't blame him, can you? A lot of people will be, a lot of football fans will be not pleased, but not too concerned about Newcastle's plight, because I think people get fed up with them saying, oh, we're brilliant, our fans are amazing, this sort of stuff. But I don't think it's obviously not the fans' fault or the club's fault, you know. It's been really, really badly mismanaged, if we need to say that.
Paul Gascoigne's a free agent, isn't he, at the minute?
Oh, that's disgraceful stuff. That is absolutely disgraceful. You're talking to a Geordie, eh?
He's from Hartlepool.
He left, it's fine. He's not that bothered.
We'll come back to Gaz later.
But Gaz is a bit like Stan Collymore, and the fact is, if you asked him, he'd probably be like, yeah, I can still cut it. I can still do it at Premier League level. Stan Collymore said last season that I look in the Premier League and I don't see a striker who can do what I can do.
It wasn't the Premier League, it was the World Cup. It's after the World Cup.
I was going to say, I
slightly underestimated Stan Collymore's ego.
Stan Collymore also put his name down to be James Bond.
Where'd you put your name down?
I've got a little piece of paper over it. All he reads is look more. Yeah, he did. He came forward and said, yeah, I could play James Bond.
That's just outrageous. What do you mean? I'm still...
I'll cave your face in.
I'm with Pete still. I'm like, well, how do you put your name down for it?
Well, all right, he put his name forward, perhaps.
So I've got an image in my head of him writing like a covering letter. I enclosed my CV. Yeah. I enclosed my CV, mate.
Yeah.
And I think I'll kill lots of bad guys.
Yeah.
I dragged Miss Moneypenny out of nightclubs. Oh, yeah. It's in my car. I actually know what happened.
Found a nice, quiet, secluded spot.
I actually know what happened. He was going to get the job after Pierce Brosnan. Yeah. But they'd already cast the bomb woman as Ulrika Johnson, so it's a bit of a conflict of interest. You know?
Disgraceful. But fair enough.
Staying on Gaza, sorry. I mean,
desperately trying to get away from him.
Have any of you seen that video that's been around of him talking to those two blokes in the pub when he's telling them like how he can like con money out of people, basically hustling Paul, as I'd say if I was like a 1930s gumshoe. Like, it's just You really have to watch it for the sort of car crash factor of it. It does just seem like a sad drunk down the pub. He lied to these blokes about how he'd sort of tried to steal £1 billion off the Pope.
You don't need to lie.
Saying like, yeah, the Pope's rung me up and like George Clooney's rung me up and he like wants to come down and have a drink with us. It's just like George Clooney doesn't even know who you are.
George Clooney.
Dear.
Like, the thing is, though,
they've both got a house in Italy, though.
I don't want to be getting involved with Kane in Gaza because I don't think any of us do. But the story I did read about him was that he got busted for trying to break into a pub at 9:30 in the morning using his own house keys.
Yeah, doesn't he live in a pub though?
No. Does he?
That's probably what it was. He couldn't get in.
If you're Paul Gascoigne, you don't need to lie. You've done some amazing things. You know what I mean? You don't need to lie on and off the pitch. No, he's got a story to tell, hasn't he? He doesn't need to be making stuff up like that. £1 billion from the Pope. That's brilliant.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Honestly, it's kind of like watching a car crash, like I said, rubbernecking, but it is fascinating just to see how deranged he's gone. He does seem to have some actual severe mental problems.
Of course he has,
diagnosed with like OCD and like loads of other things like that.
Well, I've said this before, and I've said this in articles as well. I think he's been let down by the football community in general, I think. I don't think the football community owes anyone a particular leg up or a helping hand just because they're a good player or anything like that. But he's one of their own, Gazzo, and everyone was really pleased, you know, really happy to be seen with him and to talk him up and to big him up when he was playing. But he needs people's help now. I don't think the football community is doing enough.
He has had a lot of help offered to him.
For Mike Tyson.
Yeah, and Frank fucking Bruno.
Can we have a professional coming in here, please?
You know what I mean? You know, Pete, you would imagine that up north there would be anyone would take him in, wouldn't they?
Yeah, Pete.
But
as a representative speaker from
Hello. No, I think you forget how much he let Newcastle down at the end. He wasn't there for that long. You know what I mean? He did sort of like, as soon as he could get away, he got away. You know what I mean? He wanted to be in London.
He's probably at Middlesbrough longer than Newcastle.
I imagine he probably was.
But the point is, he's loved. I mean, the Geordies are well known for always loving there anyway, but he's loved wherever he went. Yeah. Like, for example, at Rangers.
Well, I saw him play at Rangers a few times.
Okay. If he went to Glasgow, they'd absolutely fucking love it. They'd take him in, no problem.
Yeah,
I just think, and people, and
it's not a case of someone taking you in off the street.
Well, not literally.
You want more help than that.
No, not literally, but that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm making is that he's universally loved everywhere, pretty much. Okay, so you say that the football community are doing what they can to help him. I don't agree with that, and if it is true, I've not seen that much evidence of it. There's not enough in general done by the FA and by the football community to players who retire at a young age, who quickly find that they've got nothing in their lives after they leave the game.
He's had plenty of stints in sort of rehab centres, though. A lot of clubs have given him a chance to sort of try and work it out. Was it Kidderminster he was at for a little while?
Kettering, of course.
Boston United.
He was in China for a little while, wasn't he? He does need to help himself.
But he's been surrounded by bad people, he's taken bad advice. But the other thing...
Evans not a good influence, then.
I don't know what the situation was there. I mean, in the 90s, Gascoigne was probably a worse influence on him the other way around. But I just think that, you know, it's clear to see. I mean, Anne Hansen did a documentary a long, long time ago about players.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Okay, well, it was a few years ago.
I remember the one. It was Life After Football.
Okay, and it was making a more of a general point. If you're not lucky enough to get, or you're not that way inclined to get into coaching or stay in the game after you finish or get into the media, then it's tough. It's the same with boxers. They dedicate a life to the sport.
Yeah.
Once they're finished, a lot of them have a lot of problems. You know, there was a boxer who died in a motorbike crash recently. You had a lot of mental problems, gambling problems, drink problems, because he had nothing to replace the boxing in his life.
But footballers nowadays, I think back, you know, a number of years ago, it was a case of, well, I've got to go and work. You know, because
didn't earn enough.
Exactly. Now it's kind of like, well, I don't really. Oh, I'll sit around, I'm minted, what do I do? And then they get into the gambling and all sorts, you know.
This generation of players might be the first one to have never had other jobs.
No, they'll be comfortable. But they look at it, it's dangerous. You're saying about the gambling thing, it's like doing things to sort of replace the budget you get of a Saturday afternoon.
That's what
happened with Paul Merson and to a certain extent George Best. But you're right about the earlier players, like Bobby Charlton apparently only earned £300 a week.
There's players
selling their World Cup medals because they didn't earn
that. Absolute disgrace, I think. You know, the point is, there's enough money in the game to get some sort of decent support structure in for ex-pros. And maybe Gazza is an extreme case and he's beyond help. But not every player will be. And there will be other players who fall into hard times like that. And they're not all going to be as lucky as Paul Merson to get a decent gig at Sky and that sort of thing.
Well, so they're all not going to start their own record label like Rio.
Exactly. And Darren Byfield.
Is that right?
He's got his own label, yeah.
But Kevin Campbell has as well.
Oh, maybe I was thinking of him then. Oh, Darren Byfield's married to Jamelia, isn't he? That's what I got confused. It is Kevin Campbell, yeah. But anyway, the overall point is no one would like to see Gazza I mean, no one likes to see Gazza as he is now, so it's a shame. Mm. And I think there could be more done personally, but I mean, that may not be the case.
Sepp Blatter has come out this week, not of the closet, just come out and said that he would like more African teams in the future to be given the chance of the world.
I thought you meant like time-travelling African teams. It would surprise me if he came out with some shit like that.
Yeah. He said he'd like to even it out. At the moment, there's 53 teams in Europe competing for 13 places at the World Cup. Africa. He says Africa have the same number of teams competing for just 5 places. I'm not convinced, just ongoing looking at the map, that Africa's got 53 teams.
Well, you've been there.
Yeah, not all of it.
You've been there a couple of times, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's enough to get all of it in.
You've been there twice more than me, haven't you?
And me.
No, there's a lot of countries in Africa. I reckon there's about that.
That's 6 times more than the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Have you been to Africa, Pete?
I've been to an island off Africa.
Oh, Cape Verde. You've come back from there, haven't you?
Yeah, I've just come back from there.
Doesn't count.
You can't claim that as being Africa.
They've got nothing else but a football stadium.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
A lot of beach soccer. Yeah.
Soccer?
They wouldn't let me play.
Oh, why not?
I just stood at the sidelines. I was hoping to go, hey, you play with us. but they were really good.
Some sort of like...
Well, these are the natives you're talking about.
the fellas on the beach. I wanted to play, but they wouldn't. They didn't.
Right. Well,
you're too big. They were probably about 12 years old, were they?
Yeah, they were.
Anyway, back to Sepp.
Yeah, sorry. I think that... I'm going to agree with Sepp Blatter for once.
Yeah, well, I think the way the football's going, it is balancing out. It used to be... All the best teams were in Europe, and obviously, and then you had Brazil and Argentina as well. But African football's really coming on, like we've said before, and they really are stepping up. And I think, you know, when I was in Africa just in the summer, some of the guys out there were saying, oh, is the African team going to win in South Africa? Definitely. And I said, I think it's probably a little bit too early, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think maybe in Brazil, 2014, perhaps, could be serious contenders there.
You can't really see beyond Brazil for that, though, can you?
I think the way to go in Europe to sort of counterbalance that is just make less countries. Do we really need Liechtenstein?
Yeah.
Really
well, Belgium was going to fold, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Belgium was going to fold.
Yeah. I mean, if you start thinking about it, maybe just give back some of the French players, maybe to the Africans.
Exactly. That's a good, another good
that's
point.
A good point.
I think you're right. I think that's the way to go. A lot of the top players in Europe are African. So, you know.
Well, Blatter said there is a problem. This is talking about how... there's 13 places, 53 teams, and there's only 5 places for the African teams. Although there's going to be 6 African nations at this World Cup, because obviously one of them's hosting it. He says, there is a problem, and the problem is the mathematical law of great numbers.
Why does he talk like he's singing in a musical? Everything he says.
I thought you could have just left that as, why does he talk?
Yeah, why does he talk? Why does he talk? What does he think?
You're right, yeah. That's awesome.
So,
I think the sentiment, I'm not averse to the sentiment. I think he, like you say, Pete, he's talking absolute rubbish. But he's doing the old, why use one word when I can use 20 words?
Considering also that the European Championship is looking like it's going to be expanded to, is it 23 teams?
24. 23 wouldn't really work.
Yeah, it wouldn't, James. You'd have a bye in there somewhere.
I don't think that's a terrible thing to say. I mean, I'm just trying to think of, like, slightly shit European teams that have qualified for the World Cup.
England.
Like, yeah. Sorry, that have qualified. Emails.
Luke, have we had some emails?
Yes, we have. we've had one, surprisingly, from a Liverpool fan with a bit of a complex. You know,
everyone's is it Jamie Carragher? Oh, no, he doesn't support Liverpool, does he?
Everyone's out to get her, apparently. This is from Jade, who says, I was not best pleased when I heard your last podcast in which you called Liverpool fans idiots regarding Jamie Carragher's autobiography. Why should we be slated because of something he's written? Well, if I can come back on this one myself, because I think it was me who allegedly said that. I didn't actually say they're idiots.
No, you didn't.
I said... Liverpool fans who are idiots will like Jamie Carragher's book. Liverpool fans who aren't idiots won't like it because it's idiotic. So it's slightly incorrect, but I mean, I'm not surprised that a Liverpool fan would misconstrue
thanks
that.
Thanks for the response.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear from people.
Proves that she listened through the echo and the buzz.
Yeah, very kind of, and we obviously value every single listener, so please don't stop listening because of that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Please don't. We are not desperate.
Yeah, but we don't mind too much because all Liverpool fans are idiots. Fellas... Milan Derby, Milan 1, Inter 0. What's the best derby you've seen? That's from Ant in Sussex. We've sort of covered that a little bit, the Milan Derby.
Yeah, but not the best derby we've
what's
seen.
What's the best derby you've seen?
The only derby I've really been to of note is Arsenal Spurs.
Well, does it have to be the one you've been to? Because I've only been to a Pompey Southampton derby in the flesh.
Okay.
So it's the only derby I've been to is rubbish.
I remember watching Rangers Celtic when it was 3-3 at Ibrox. That was a great game.
Arsenal 5, Tottenham 4.
I watched that as well.
9 different goal scorers in that game. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was good.
I got kicked in the head once at the Hartlepool Darlington match. I was 15. I was 15. I was kicked in the head by a 30-year-old man.
On purpose.
Yeah. There was a bit of a scrap going on. We were sort of running through it underneath police horses and etc. And
is this just like
booted me?
I thought you were lying on like the centre circle bit just before kick off.
Running under police. Was this in the 1930s?
It was horrible. It was tragic. But we did.
It was the White Hands derby or whatever. Orchestrating the whole crowd.
I've been to a. The thing is, I'm sort of reluctant to say, because I've been to a couple of South Coast derbies, and they were good, it's sort of unique atmosphere and stuff, but I mean, it pales into sort of insignificance when you're talking about the Glasgow derby or El Clasico or something like that.
Yeah.
I've seen that game, what was that Real Madrid-Barcelona derby?
3-2.
When so-and-so, it was at the Nou Camp, and was it Van Nistelrooy scored a hat-trick?
Yeah.
And they got battered
at
home, Barcelona.
What was it, 3-4-1?
It was a brilliant
last
game
season,
anyway. Yeah. As usual. Thing is, these emails come in during the week, so I could really do a bit of research, but I never do.
It's off the cuff.
Yeah, it is.
From the heart.
So there you go. I hope that sort of half answers your question. This is a good one, actually. This is from a fella called Willie Brown. Right, and I think he is real. I've not made this up.
That's the other way around. It's Brown Willie.
Is that right?
Two of these.
Yeah. You're just chucking them away, aren't you? Just chucking them away.
Don't pick them up.
All right, fellas, I wanted to share a tale with you from my Northern Irish past. A game took place in the midweek international match at Windsor Park. We were playing Portugal, and a crowd of us left the ground after the game and walked up the Lisbon Road to the first club we came to. After an hour propping up the bar, we were joined by Aaron Hughes, Michael Hughes, Ian Dowie, and Ian Dowie's twin brother, Bob. Resplendent in a John Travolta white suit.
Wow.
A mate of mine, let's call him Davey, because that's his name, went over after a few beers to abuse the Dowies for their facial shortcomings.
Beautifully put.
Before he could get a word out, Bob cut him off and said, "Davey, you're the ugliest man I've ever seen."
He knew his name.
That's what
he said. Davey wears a name tag.
He says, "My mate Davey is now retired from appearing in public, and it took him several years to restore his confidence." Imagine being called ugly by Bob Dowie.
That's quality.
That's strange.
Yeah. And that concludes this week's emails.
Now, you may think on the Football Ramble, you know, we just turn up and have amazing banter and fantastic insights into the fabulous world of football. But it's not all about stardom and celebrity for us. We do like to put back, or give back, rather, and charity work certainly high up on our list. James, take it away.
Yeah, we've basically started our own charity, and we've written a letter off to someone that we would hope would be a benefactor, so we'll just read that out for you. "Dear Mr. Kenyon, on seeing you collect your loser's medal in the Champions League final, I was struck by your courage after such a heroic personal contribution that ended in defeat. You're an inspiration to many, and this is why I'm writing to invite you to become a patron for a new charity, Active Capilliform Relief of Nude-Headed Men, or Acronym." This is a working title. "Though baldness is not considered a disability, it no doubt has debilitating effects, as many men suffer from a loss of confidence as they shed their locks. We aim to re-empower those men by giving them something back, without charge and from a completely natural source. As a token of our gratitude and as an example of the work we will be doing, I have enclosed a head full of my own personal hair for you to fashion into a wig or graft onto your head in a style as you see fit. We supply with this free of charge and accept your gracious thanks in advance. As patron, your duties will involve raising awareness for the campaign so that we can get as much hair donated as possible. Manchester City's Stephen Ireland has already given us his hair, kindly accepting only a few magic beans in exchange. Another area in which you can be of help is by spreading the word through the Chelsea Matchday programme and TV channel, as our independent research has shown that 90% of Chelsea fans are cab drivers, and this will help the campaign spread through word of mouth. We hope that with you on board, our campaign can grow and grow, unlike the hair on the barren, decimated heads of so many baldness sufferers. Should you wish to learn more about the charity, you can do so by downloading our podcast, The Football Ramble, available through iTunes, or by contacting us at footballramble@hotmail.com. Good day, and we look forward to your response." So hopefully, Kenyon, if you are listening, do email in. If not, we hope to hear from you.
We're going to get anyone else.
Anyone else, but if you do want to make a donation.
Yeah, let's make this clear. We're going to send a letter to Peter Kenyon with an envelope full of your hair.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I've got here.
Which he's actually got there.
Yeah.
We'll take a photo.
And you've put your address. Is he going to kill us?
I hope not. But I think it's a risk worth taking. It'll be me that gets it in the neck.
My question, coming from that letter, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners will be perhaps wanting to ask the same thing.
It's actually disgusting, man. It's actually a fucking envelope of hair.
You said in there, you know, the hair is free of charge to fashion any kind of style or whatever. What style would he go for?
Well, he could go for mine, he could try yours.
Well, he has to go for yours because it's your fucking hair.
Well, yeah, but he can restyle it, can't he?
Yeah.
Pete's got no hair. Pete, are you going to be a benefactor of this charity?
Pete?
Yeah, I'll take some of that. I'm getting on that.
But that's Peter Kenyon, so that's already accounted for.
Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, we're going to send this to Peter Kenyon. It's got your address on it. Yeah. So if it comes back to bite us in the arse, it's going to be you.
Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier. We don't think this is illegal.
No, it's just sending someone some hair.
I can't think there's a law about it.
Sending people your hair?
Yeah.
It's a fairly abstract part of the law, I imagine. So, like, so hair crimes.
Yeah. You have to go to the Hague. Just chucking him away. Are you going to keep us posted
as to when
he gets back to us?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Excellent.
If I get any
response,
I'll let you know. And obviously, he might email us. Have you got your camera on you? We need to.
Yeah. Are we encouraging listeners to send their own hair in?
Why not?
Okay. To Chelsea.
To your
Chelsea.
Address.
No, to Peter Kenyon.
To Peter Kenyon.
So, anyone Peter else Kenyon. Who's bald?
Their address.
If anyone knows where Sean Connery lives, send me in some and all.
So their address is Chelsea Football Club, Stamford Bridge, Fulham Road, London, SW61HS. So if you do want to send Peter Kenyon your hair, knock yourself out.
Okay, I'll take a photo of the hair.
I'm gonna cover my
It's not really an audio feature, this, is it?
No, it's not.
I'll take a photo of it anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can inform you that the envelope is being opened.
Can you hold the envelope open, someone?
And,
mate, I don't want to... Why have I got to be involved?
Oh,
it's absolutely disgusting.
Bastard.
don't let me touch it. Okay, I'll take a photo of it now.
That is incredible.
It looks like an actual wig.
Start playing some music underneath the momentous hair.
Perhaps you've been the victim of hair loss, Peter. Nice.
There we go.
So I'll put the photo up on the
Facebook.
Yeah, that's it. So I don't think like I said, I don't think that's a crime. And we'll soon find out.
Let us know and we'll prepare some sort of defence.
You've written that letter out, you've typed that letter out, had you kind of used newspaper cuttings to write it?
Exactly. But yeah, all good fun. So I mean I wonder how many Chelsea fans actually listen to this show.
Probably not many.
No, I wouldn't have thought
so. Busy driving.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny stories!
Right.
I'm out of a job.
That's a welcome addition. That's a welcome addition.
To start this one off, this is about Alan Boxic. During his time at the Riverside, a story about Boxic circulated around Teesside. In a classic Armani suit and bother boots combination, the ex-Juventus star found himself partnered up front by Noel Whelan. He was not impressed. And who can blame him?
Yeah.
Whelan was a hard worker, a bustler, but he carried all the attacking threat of Tupperware. this is off some guy's blog, isn't it?
Yeah.
At one point during his Borough career, he had scored more goals in his own net than he had in the opposition's. Boxic may have been so slothful that he appeared to be teetering permanently on the cusp of hibernation, but he had standards.
He's a class player, Boxic.
He was good,
yeah.
According to the story, one Monday, after particularly inept display by the former Leeds target man, Boxic went in to see the borough secretary. What does Whelan earn per week, he demanded. The secretary told him. And how long does he have left on his contract? The secretary told him and the striker stalked out. The next day, he returned waving a cheque. This is the money Whelan will earn during the rest of his time here. Give it to him now, he commanded, and tell him to fuck off. Sounds like Terry Tibbs.
Yeah.
Jens Lehmann's been being mental again. High-flying Stuttgart keeper Jens Lehmann. This is from Bild. This is from the German version of The Sun. It's good to see that these puns are everywhere, like in tabloids across the world.
Yeah.
High-flying Stuttgart keeper Jens Lehmann, that's in keeping with your Swedish accent for everything, has been taking a helicopter to get to training, infuriating his new neighbours in the otherwise tranquil Bavarian town of Berg. Lehmann and his family recently moved to the picturesque town alongside Lake Starnberg, but the ex-German keeper is not making any friends among the new neighbours thanks to his habit of taking a noisy helicopter to his training in Stuttgart. He has landed at least twice in the centre of town, in the middle of the football pitch. On August 21st, for example, he climbed into the waiting helicopter at 11 a.m, took off for training and returned making a racket at 8 p.m. It makes it sound like he was just shouting.
I think that is fantastic.
Is it him flying it, or has he got a pilot?
No, it's Murdoch from the 80s. 11 a.m, that's not too early. But he's back at 8 in the evening. How long did they train for?
11 a.m. Now the mayor of Berg has taken action, forbidding the former Arsenal star to land his chopper on the football pitch. People have already complained. Mayor Rupert Mon said, "I hope that Mr. Lehmann will cease to land in the town in future, otherwise we'll speak to him personally." We'll just do that now.
This is amazing. Jens Lehmann's comment was,
Schnell. Michael Ballack also lived in the Bavarian city for a time. "We did not have these problems with Ballack," the mayor said. "Even the Chelsea star had some problems with the local community. His family had to lower the fence on their property after neighbours complained." Bloody hell, what?
We want to see what you're doing.
We didn't have any problem with Ballack because he didn't have a fucking helicopter.
He used to drive.
He's landed on my bloody house again.
Schwarzenegger, get to the chopper.
Yeah, that's amazing.
All I care about is Jens.
Jenny. Just got a quote from Roy Keane here. I think I face my biggest challenge as a manager now. The last big one, after I arrived, we went to Ipswich and got beat 3-1, and I swear they were playing the ABBA music before the game. Just the ABBA music. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Just before we went out to play, ABBA was on. Dancing Queen, I think it was.
Was it in the dressing room?
Yeah. Ipswich would have been outside our dressing room, listening to us lot listening to Dancing Queen and thinking we've got a great chance against these. That's what I was thinking, and they beat us. I think a few of the players liked the ABBA. That was a bloody problem. Two of them were dancing in the corner. They didn't want to go out and play the game. They wanted to listen to bloody ABBA. It was the masseur playing the lead role. He was playing the music.
Well, he's not going
to
play.
Yeah, I remember stepping back thinking, that's not right. None of the players had the balls to say, hey, we're not listening to this rubbish. That monsieur is no longer at the club. He's probably eating it.
Yeah, I'm not being funny. I'm not homophobic by any stretch of the imagination, but I was getting a massage and the bloke was listening to this fucking Dancing Queen, right? And had a groin strain. No chance.
No.
Absolutely no chance.
Question it.
I love how he refers to them as the ABBA.
The ABBA music. So I thought,
all right, granddad. Yeah.
It's like you and the Facebook.
Yeah, isn't it? But I think you would be like, if Roy Keane's turning up today, should we not listen to ABBA? Should we turn the ABBA off? Because it's Roy Keane. That's what I'd be thinking.
The Keane's coming.
Yeah, the Keano. Keano. He's just beating up that kid when he was taking his dog for a walk. What's he going to do to us? Allegedly. Yeah. What's he going to do to us? Actually, he was found not guilty of that. He definitely didn't do it, just for the record.
Mamma mia.
Oh, funny stories. It's the player profile pet!
That's not
that was awesome.
It's profile time. Note, gentlemen, I say profile and not player profile.
Are you doing this in the style of Shakespeare?
You're going to do Bobby Robson, aren't you?
I'm not going to do Bobby Robson.
It's not a player.
Well,
is it Paul Newman?
It's a man. It's a man who has contributed to the world of football greatly. Ladies and gentlemen, today's profile, and we've talked about this man enough times, he deserves to be in here, is Barry George Davis.
Barry Davis?
MBE?
This is going to be shit.
What's his goals ratio?
That's what they listen for. This goes at the end of the show, they're just going to switch it off.
Boom. 24th of October, 1940.
He's done well there. He's won the sperm race.
He's won,
yeah.
1940, so he's won World War II.
Yeah.
Finished that when he was five.
He's lived through that.
Finished that when he was five. He's one of the BBC's longest serving football commentators.
Right.
Is Barry Davis. Known for his football commentary, he's also commentated on other sports, including volleyball, ice skating, tennis, gymnastics, hockey.
He's done hockey, yeah.
Athletics.
He had hockey in the Olympics,
isn't he? Also, the voice of the boat race. He was educated at Cranbrook School, Kent.
We're effectively on a profile of just a bloke.
Yeah.
This is Barry Davis.
All right. I like Barry Davis. Don't get me wrong, but what's he won?
Don't care what he's won.
Exactly. You know the rules. Did you know he started his career with the British forces? And he's broadcasting
as a commentator. Them.
That's right. Yeah.
I didn't know
in
that.
In West
well.
Germany,
commentating war. Oh, his head's come off. Clean off.
Exactly. 35 years he was commentating on Match of the Day, and it came to an end on the 25th of September 2004, Man City versus Arsenal, and the reason for retiring was because he felt that he was not getting big enough matches and he was being downgraded.
It's an absolute crime.
It is an absolute crime.
Disgrace.
And Motson's still going. Motson's still knocking about.
Do you see Jonathan Pearce compared Olafinjaya, is that his name?
Olafinjana.
Olafinjana, yeah. He compared his goal to the Hadron Collider. This week in physics, they tried to recreate the Big Bang, and that is the Big Bang.
But it's not. He's leaking helium all over the...
But that goal was just above absolute zero, 293 Kelvin.
He was often overlooked for the big foul. He only ever covered. Now think, he's been in the game. He was Match of the Day commentator 35 years. Only ever commentated on two FA Cup finals in his career.
Why?
Motson always used to get him.
Oh, for fuck's sake! Motson used to be alright.
Yeah.
However, there's no animosity between the two. In his autobiography. Which, once again, is my...
Would that be like the most rubbish fight ever? Motson versus Barry Davis?
Well, they talk a good game, but... in his autobiography, which is called Interesting, Very Interesting, he says there's no animosity...
You're making this up.
It's just the name... Because it's one of his famous little...
Might be more popular if he maybe come up with a better catchphrase. Interesting, very interesting. You're not a Bond villain.
He probably put his name down, though, to be
Mr. Dan Collymore, yeah.
He continues work for the BBC on a freelance basis. He does Winter Olympics, Commonwealth Games, and of course he did a little bit in the Olympics, didn't he?
He did hockey. I think he might have done diving as well.
I've got some memorable quotes here. From the big man. This is after a refereeing decision effectively cost Leeds United the league championship in 1971. You might have seen this on the old clips. And Leeds will go mad! And they have every right to go mad! Have you seen that one?
I like... Is anyone that did the... look at his face! Look at his face!
Manny Lee.
Yeah.
That was it, yeah.
You did quite a good impression of Davis, so feel free to carry on.
Look at his face. Just look at his face. Oh, so that was Loungeberry Davis. and the Diego Maradona's second goal against England in 1986, when he does the whole team. You have to say that's magnificent. And this is a good one. This is actually, I'll pluck this out of, it was the, you know, and I expect a little bit of criticism here. This is the 1988 Olympic hockey final against Germany. But it's good, it's good. Where were the Germans? And quite frankly, who cares?
even
when he doesn't say anything particularly profound or anything and states the blooming obvious, it still sounds good, like when Pat Bonner letting that howler against Holland in the 94 World Cup. Yeah. Just the way it dropped in the net. Oh, Pat Bonner. You know, it just...
Motson commentating on that. We're like, where are my shoes?
It appears to have gone in.
Yeah. Well, when Gascoigne scored that free kick against Arsenal in the 91 FA Cup final, is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say, that's brilliant.
That's boys' own stuff.
They went on to say all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then, of course, you got my favourite piece of commentary ever when Bergkamp scored against Argentina. Beautifully bobbled out by Bergkamp. Oh,
he gets absolutely mental, isn't he? Yeah.
But this is a great one. In 2002 World Cup, after Italy got knocked out by the South Koreans, they were trying to obviously defend a one-goal lead, and South Korea turned it round. Italy lost because they will not learn.
Headmaster?
Exactly, yeah.
It's almost like he's going to punish them afterwards for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you who my least favourite commentator is while we're on this. You know that bloke on Eurosport that takes ages to
Stato?
Anything. No, surely not.
It's Stato.
It sounds like his dialogue's written by Harold Pinter.
It's Stato from Fancy Football, that is.
No way.
It is.
No.
I promise
you. The guy who commentates on all the Dutch football and stuff like that.
No, I don't think it is.
He's a Eurosport commentator.
Eurosport. It's horrible.
And then
they do that thing on Eurosport as well where they do old games, but they do the commentary as if it's live.
Yeah.
And they talk about what's about to happen as if it's live.
before we go on, Barry Davis, he's in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. Round of applause.
Barry Davis.
I know he's not a footballer, but I feel he deserves to be in there. That's it for this week, listeners. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is footballramble@hotmail.com. We have a group on Facebook, and we have a myspace.com/footballramble. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
James.
Or Jim.
Bye.
Luke.
Correct.
Bye. We're all off to post some hair. Goodbye.